Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers took 3 of 4 from the Padres in a weekend series, and it was about as good as you could have hoped for until they won the first three, and then you could hope for a sweep. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. We're going to talk about the weekend series. I'm going to talk a little bit about two pitchers, one who is pitching really well, and I'm a little nervous about him, and one who's not pitching very well, and I'm a little bit optimistic. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. We are doing a split episode today, so I will be with you for the first half. Vince will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Dodgers won 3 out of 4 games from the Padres this weekend, and looking like it might be a sweep. A blown save by Craig Kimbrel in the ninth inning was what kept them from having a sweep. The Dodgers led 1-0 going into the ninth inning. After missing some chances on offense, having kind of a they started off really well on Sunday. The first two batters of the game for the Dodgers both doubled. The Dodgers got their run. They ended up loading the bases. Couldn't get anybody else in that inning and left a few guys on throughout the game, but mostly just had trouble getting on base most of the game. Did finally tack on one run in the bottom of the ninth after allowing 4 runs at the top of the ninth when it was too late. So, but, you know, Vince and I have talked about what's the best and worst way to win each kind of series and whatever. And a 4-game series, if you're going to win 3 out of 4, I think we can all agree the worst way to do it is to win the first three and then blow a lead in the ninth inning of the fourth game. Leaves a sour note, but if we can look at the big picture, the Dodgers beat the second place Padres 3 out of 4 games, which means they gained 2 games on the Padres this weekend, and you can't complain too much about that. So we're not going to complain too much about that. We are going to talk about some of the negatives. Really, I mean, the offense not really showing up on Sunday. I won't say it was to be expected, but they did pretty well. You know, they beat Joe Musgrove on Thursday in the game that Vince and I talked about on Friday's episode, a tough game. And then they basically handled the Padres bullpen on Friday and Yu Darvish on Saturday. The offense showed up. And so they really earned these first 3 wins of the series. And the pitching was outstanding, only allowed 4 runs total in those first 3 games. And so, it's not like you would expect an offensive lull on this Sunday day game after playing pretty well the last 3 games, but it wasn't shocking. And for a while, it looked like they might get away with it and win the game 1-0 because Clayton Kershaw was outstanding on Sunday. I said last week after his clunker of a start against the Rockies, I said it's very, very rare for Clayton Kershaw to have 2 bad starts in a row. And what we saw was not vintage Kershaw. We'll never see vintage Kershaw again. It's a new version of Clayton Kershaw, but it was 7 shutout innings, and it was really good. It was really, really good. So, you know, we thought they might get away with it and sweep this series with a 1-0 win. It didn't work. In the second segment, I'm going to talk about Craig Kimbrel. But first, I feel like I've got two pitchers who are kind of flip sides, kind of the opposite sides of the same coin that I want to talk about. And so before the break, I'm going to talk about Tony Gonsolin. After the break, I'm going to talk about Craig Kimbrel, and then I'm going to turn it over to Vince. Tony Gonsolin was outstanding again. He's now 10-0. He pitched on Friday's game. I get all these days mixed up. All the days run together. He pitched Friday's game, 7 2/3 innings. 1 earned run, 1 run allowed, just on a home run. Other than that, just lights out. you know, maybe could have gone the full eight innings. Dave Roberts pulled him with two outs in the eighth inning. It was the Padres lineup coming up for the fourth time. Jurickson Profar was leading off, and he was really the only Padre, I guess Trent Grisham. Those two guys were the only guys who were seeing Gonsolin well at all that game. And so Roberts came out and got Gonsolin, which I liked. It gave Gonsolin a chance to walk off in the middle of an inning, which gives the crowd a little bit better chance to acknowledge him. You know, if he just walks off after an inning, a lot of the crowd, especially the crowd near the dugout, gets into it. But this, you know, he's the center of attention when he's walking off in the middle of an inning. I wouldn't be surprised if that was part of Dave Roberts' thinking on that, to get him out in that situation so that he could get that ovation that he very much deserved. It ran his record to 10-0. His ERA is down to 1.54. Outstanding. And now, here's my concern. You know, Vince and I both said in the past, we don't necessarily expect him to keep this up. And if you look at FIP, which is fielding independent pitching, which basically just says, what should your ERA be based on the three things that pitchers can control, which is walks, strikeouts, and home runs. Gonsolin's FIP is 331. Still very good, nowhere near 154. And that is mostly because his BABIP, batting average on balls in play, which is usually close to 300 for almost all the time for almost everybody, BABIP averages out over time to about 300. Tony Gonsolin's BABIP this year, BABIP allowed, is 186, which means when the ball is in play, meaning a fair ball that doesn't go over the fence, hitters are batting 186 against him. That's because he's getting really, really soft contact. And that's, you know, hard hit percentage. He's 93rd percentile. Average exit velocity, 62nd percentile. And so his expected ERA is like 280 something based on the quality of contact. So he's getting lucky, a little bit lucky, even based on the quality of contact. And the fact is, I worry that a 186 BABIP might not be sustainable. And it could be over the short term. And to be clear, I'm not discounting what Tony Gonsolin has done. I am a firm believer that what you've done counts. And the fact is, Tony Gonsolin has pitched 15 starts now, and he's won 10 of them, lost zero of them, and he has a 1.54 ERA. Everything he's done, he deserves. And that's why I made the case that I think he deserves to start the All-Star game, even if his FIP isn't as good as some of the other guys, even if whatever. Those things are, you know, projections. If you're looking at who do you expect to be better next year, yeah, maybe you go with one of those guys. But right now, as of right now, Tony Gonsolin is having the best season for a pitcher in baseball, based on what has happened. I'm nervous that he's due for a little bit of a regression, and hopefully not a huge regression, because the fact is he's got that 186 BABIP in the bank. So even if his BABIP goes to around 300 for the rest of the season, there's no reason to think it's going to go to 400 to counteract the 186 he's had so far. So even if it goes to 300, he starts having a little bit worse luck. Chances are at this point, he's halfway through the season, he probably finishes the season with an ERA in the low to mid twos, worst case scenario, probably. He'd have to really, really be bad for it to get worse. But I don't think he's going to be able to maintain what he's doing, just because I don't think that BABIP is sustainable. He does get soft contact, but there's nothing. I shouldn't say there's nothing. I don't understand why he gets the soft contact. I obviously has good stuff. His changeup's great, but a lot of people have good stuff and don't get that soft of contact, don't have that low of a BABIP. So my brain says, until I can understand something, I'm going to be a little nervous about it. And that's kind of where I'm at with Tony Gonsolin right now. None of which, as I said, is to take away from what he's done, which is dominate everybody he's gone up against, including the Padres this weekend. And it was awesome. And I hope Tony Gonsolin starts the All-Star game, unless Clayton Kershaw does. So we talked about Tony Gonsolin's BABIP. In a minute, I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about Craig Kimbrel's BABIP and tell you why maybe I am a little bit more optimistic about Kimbrel than you might be, or some people might be. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And please keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, from the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar. That's my wife's favorite, and I think my daughter's too. But guess what? Your friends at Built had given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right, the Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a delicious, chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. That's a hard sentence to say. But stop drooling and listen. They are good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They are the perfect treat, perfect when you got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack, they're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs right now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Okay, I am back. And I wouldn't say I was pessimistic about Tony Gonsolin. I was a little nervous about a little bit of a regression that's coming. I do believe Tony Gonsolin's an excellent pitcher, and I think he does have something that will help him outperform his FIP and outperform his, or have that extreme BABIP, maybe not quite so extreme. So now I want to talk to you about Craig Kimbrel. Okay, Craig Kimbrel is the Dodgers closer. As you know, he blew the save on Sunday, and it was a weird outing because first batter, Manny Machado, one run game, totally nervous about Machado. Maybe the best batter that Kimbrel has had all season. He threw every pitch exactly where he wanted to. He got Manny Machado to strike out. It was a perfectly pitched at bat. Outstanding. That's the Craig Kimbrel. When Craig Kimbrel's pitching like that, he is one of the best closers in baseball. Next batter, Jake Cronenworth, hits a line drive up the middle. There's some bad. Yeah, Cronenworth hit the ball hard, but hit it on the ground, or, you know, it would have been a ground ball if it had ever gotten to the ground before it got to Craig Kimbrel's back. It's probably an out. If it doesn't hit Kimbrel, it's probably a hard ground out to second base, or shortstop, I guess, playing in the shift. Instead, it gets Kimbrel on the back. Kimbrel scrambles after it, picks it up, throws it, almost gets him out, but doesn't. So you have Cronenworth on first base. Kimbrel is hurt. He said he could keep going. He threw some pitches. Everything seemed fine. They left him in. We don't know how much he was affected by being hit by the ball, but it was probably more than zero. He then gave up a towering double to Luke Voit that should have been a triple, maybe even inside the park home run. But Luke Voit chose to admire it, just as Jorge Alfaro had chosen to admire his single the inning before. Oh, man. I can only imagine Dodgers Twitter if they had back-to-back innings of guys pimping non-homers like the Padres did in back-to-back innings. But anyway, fly ball that goes off the top of the wall in left field. Gavin Lux at first doesn't realize that it didn't go over the wall. Takes him a while to pick it up. Voit has to stop a second because he literally walked to first base admiring it. And I had hoped that would come back to bite them. That did tie the game, but I thought, well, maybe the fact that he's on second instead of third will come back to bite them. It didn't, because Kimbrel gave up a base hit to Eric Hosmer. The pitch after he struck out Eric Hosmer looking, but the umpire didn't call it. Now, Kimbrel and other pitchers did get, I know Kershaw got at least one generous strike three call, so you can't blame the umpires there. But Kimbrel executed a really good pitch. The pitch before, he didn't execute a really good pitch. Hosmer hits a base hit to score Voit. Padres have the lead. Kimbrel leaves the game. Yancy Almonte comes in, gives up a two-run homer. That ends up being the difference of the game because the Dodgers scored one. They end up losing 4-2. Craig Kimbrel has not been lights out this year for the Dodgers. We'll put it that way. He has had very good stuff, but he hasn't been lights out. But Craig Kimbrel's FIP right now is 205. His ERA is 381. Actually, this was before this game. So it's both of those are probably a little bit higher now, but roughly, Kimbrel didn't walk anybody, struck out one, and maybe even struck out two. No, struck out one and didn't give up any home runs. So his FIP probably stayed about the same. Maybe went down a little. His ERA probably went up a little bit. And so his FIP is much better than his ERA, which, as you remember, that's kind of the opposite of the Tony Gonsolin case. I'm just pulling up the box score to see what his current ERA is. Not that it matters. The point is the same. So Craig Kimbrel is kind of the flip side. His ERA is now 4.78 after this with a FIP of around 2. So his ERA is more than double his FIP right now. The flip side of Tony Gonsolin, whose ERA is less than half his FIP. And part of that is because Craig Kimbrel's BABIP before this day, I don't know what it is after this, but coming into Sunday, his BABIP is 387. I told you, normal is about just under 300. So Craig Kimbrel has had really bad luck on balls in play. And that accounts for almost everything. If you look, his month of June, he pitched 10 games. 8 of those, he didn't allow an earned run. We forget because he had, you know, a big blown save against the Giants, which is, or gave up a big run against the Giants to lose the game. There's been some ugliness, and even the games he doesn't allow runs, he's allowing base runners. I'm not defending Craig Kimbrel's performance, except to say his stuff is still really good. And so when you look at his stuff, still looks good. His FIP looks good. His BABIP looks good. For the same reasons I'm a little nervous about Tony Gonsolin having some regression, I am pretty darn optimistic that Craig Kimbrel is going to pick things up. And my number one point is this Sunday game with the great at bat against Machado and then getting hurt. I feel like you almost have to throw out the Voit and Hosmer at bats out the window. I know they happen. They count on the stats. They count in the loss column. But until we have some idea how much he was affected by that, even if it was mentally, you know, having a line drive hit at you, I don't know. It's hard for me to judge too much based on what he did after getting hit by a line drive. So that's kind of, I noticed that dichotomy, the Gonsolin and Kimbrel kind of opposite sides of the same coin. So I want to talk a little bit about that. And I am still very high on Tony Gonsolin, and I'm not thrilled with how Craig Kimbrel has pitched, but I am reasonably confident that Craig Kimbrel is going to pitch better if he stays healthy, because his stuff is still good and the underlying stuff still looks good. So fingers crossed that that happens soon. Dave Roberts said he'll be down for a couple days. Rockies are coming to town, and hopefully the Dodgers won't need Craig Kimbrel. Hopefully the bats will wake back up like they did against Yu Darvish and pound the Rockies like they should and get a little revenge for the first 6 games of the season against the Rockies. That's going to do it for me today. Vince is going to be along to talk more about this weekend series. A lot of good from this series. Like I said, Dodgers picked up 2 games on the Padres over the weekend. And that is 3-1 in the series. We'll take that every time. If you told us going into the series, Dodgers are going to win 3 out of 4, sign me up. So that's going to do it for me. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. And Vince will be along in a minute.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's MLB season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your podcasts and news this year. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device to learn more about the trends and learn more about the action. Bet online, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince here to close out the episode. And I'm just going to kind of run through the weekend and pick up on some stuff that happened, touch on some stuff that went down and some stuff for this coming week. The biggest thing is that Mookie Betts back. Mookie Betts came back to the lineup on Sunday. He had a leadoff double and then scored on Trey Turner. Double right after that, he got on base a few more times in the game and really made an impact back at the top of the lineup. With the interesting note, we talked about the semantics of Dave Roberts last week saying Mookie will be at the top rather than Mookie will bat leadoff. Well, Mookie batted leadoff, so maybe Dave Roberts, when he says at the top, that's what he means. It was a slight variation in the lineup with Mookie Betts batting leadoff, Trey Turner batting second, Freddie Freeman batting third. Not sure if that's because there was a left-hander on the mound or that's how it's going to be from now on. I guess we'll have to wait and find out in the coming games how that goes. But it was great to see Mookie come back and not really miss a beat. Getting on base, scoring twice, and, you know, making that impact. He did play outfield. Dave Roberts had said when he came back, he might play some second base. He did play outfield, mostly, it seems like, because Chris Taylor fouled a ball off his foot, came out of the game early on Saturday, and was not going to start on Sunday. And that seemed to be the impetus for the decision to start Mookie Betts in the outfield. He didn't have to make any difficult plays. And hopefully didn't re-aggravate his injury at all. So that was good to see on that end. Something else that happened over the weekend that we found out on Sunday, Austin Barnes signed a 2-year extension with the Dodgers. This coming off the fact that we learned about him being the captain from Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts saying it on the Sportsnet LA broadcast. Trey Turner had already previously said it a couple times in an interview and with Davis say on the AM 570 little snippet. And yeah, I mean, good for Barnes. It's one of those things where I know I saw a lot of people kind of first thing you see when Barnes signs a 2-year extension is the name Diego Cartaya. And, you know, realistically, Cartaya is going to maybe top out at AA this year. And that's, I know he got injured the other night, hurt his wrist, so that's dependent upon that. But he's in high A right now. Realistically, maybe gets to double A at some point this season if he had continued to progress and stayed healthy. But, you know, it didn't seem like he was on a track to come up next year unless the Dodgers needed him, which would mean that Will Smith got hurt. It did seem like this year would be, you know, low A, high A, maybe double A. Next year, start in double A, work his way to triple A, you know, maybe knock on the door and get to that point. If the Dodgers need a bat, you know, with the DH, Will Smith can easily go to DH, or Cartaya can come up and go to DH if that was the case. So for Barnes, it's exactly what the Dodgers need. Somebody that's not going to be worried about playing time, somebody that knows his role, and obviously somebody that is respected not only by the pitchers, but by, you know, most players on the Dodgers roster, if not all players on the Dodgers roster, especially Trey Turner and Mookie Betts, who are two of the more important players right now on this roster to be cool with. So, yeah, congrats to Austin Barnes. He's going to stick around. I don't know if he'll last beyond this 2-year extension because, like I said, at that point, Cartaya may be ready to come up. Will Smith will be, you know, in full swing, maybe getting close to free agency. So, you know, maybe he does stick around if Will Smith doesn't stick around and Cartaya does. But either way, good for Austin Barnes. Nice little extension and somebody that I don't mind having in the lineup once a week. If it's anything more than that, you know, I think it's a little bit different for us, but, you know, that's how it goes. When it comes to the offense, we had a nice little game on Saturday, getting to Yu Darvish, getting those 3 home runs in the first inning, and, you know, Friday night also scoring some runs, and then Sunday not scoring any runs. But, you know, we want to talk about Justin Turner, who had a nice solid weekend, hit the 2 home runs against Musgrove, hit a home run off Yu Darvish, and who's starting to look a little bit better at the plate. You can now get a 2-week sample size where he's hitting .308 with a slugging percentage of .558. Those 3 home runs that he has in the last 15 games came in this weekend series, but he does have 10 runs scored, 11 RBI, 8 walks in those 15 games, which is a good sign. Just the 10 strikeouts. So Dave Roberts said he felt like he might be turning a corner and that he still trusts him with runners in scoring position. We looked at his numbers of running scoring position last year, and that, you know, led to some truth. But also it was a matter of Justin Turner hadn't been hitting so well. I mean, even if you get to the power hadn't been there, but even if you get to the last 30 games, Justin Turner's hitting .240 with the .333 on base percentage, and that's better than he had been in the season. I mean, on the season, he's still at .230 with the .302 on base percentage. So even if you go to the last month, he's hitting better. Maybe not, his slugging was just .385, but he was hitting better in general. Now you move over to somebody similar boat, Max Muncy, and it's still not looking great overall. He has hit a pair of home runs in his last seven games. He has hit three home runs in the last 15 games, but he's still hitting under 200 in any situation you look at in terms of, you know, last seven games, 167, last 15 games, 192, last 30 games, 162. The difference that is starting to occur is that his on-base percentage, he's not walking as much. Now you go back, you know, he was the leader in walk rate for most of the season. He recently got passed by Juan Soto. His walk rates dropped to around, I think, 17-18% now, which, or 18%, which is still good. But if he's, you know, I feel like he's trying to figure it out. I feel like he's maybe being a little bit more aggressive in order to counteract how his season has been, and it's not necessarily going the way he's going. Especially you look at the last 15 games, he has 16 strikeouts and 52 at bats. You know, not a very good, you know, striking out almost a third of the time, which is not going to get the job done, which is much higher than his career average, where he strikes out, you know, around 23% of the time. Well, that would have to factor in walks, but he's only walked seven times in the last 2 weeks. You know, he was close to averaging a walk per game. And now he's down to half a walk per game in the last 15, two walks in the last seven games with 10 strikeouts. So he's not performing offensively to what we expected in terms of getting on base. Yeah, he's swinging the bat a little more. He's had a little bit of bad luck. He had one on Sunday that he hit that maybe should have, well, that would have been a base hit once they eliminate the shift, more than likely. He did hit a couple hard balls in the air that maybe could have went out on different nights or in different stadiums, but overall still concerning because, like I said, striking out a lot and now is not walking as often, so that's not a big help to his case. You know, we still believe he can get on track, obviously. You know, they talked about it on the broadcast over the weekend how we're at the point now where you're going to look and, you know, if Max Muncy's thinking about the end of the season, his numbers are not going to be where he wants to be unless he hits 400 the rest of the year. Realistically, he is going to have a battle to get back up to 200 this year in terms of batting average. He's going to have a battle to get his OPS over 800. He's going to have a battle. You know, he's definitely not going to get to 35 home runs like he had been in the past. But it's a matter of, you know, figuring it out the rest of the way. I believe it might have been Sunday with Smoltz or Saturday with Smoltz or maybe Eric Harris, one of the other games, talking about, you know, kind of living in the moment in the two-week stretches. You know, you're not going to hit 300 for the year, but you can hit 300 in a two-week stretch. You know, you're not going to slug 35 home runs, but you can hit four or five home runs in a two-week stretch. You can, you know, hit 10 home runs in a month stretch. You can break it down the season like that in order to, you know, facilitate it and help yourself out, you know, just mentality-wise. And that's where Max Muncy's at, basically, because he's sitting at 163 with a 315 on base and a OPS of 616. Like, he's not going to get to where he wants to get or where he's been in the past. But he can get to, you know, he's at 84 WRC plus. He can get to league average. League average at this point is more than the Dodgers could ask for because obviously he hasn't performed to that standard yet. So for Muncy, it's a matter of, you know, doing what you can the rest of the way. You know, but obviously this next month the Dodgers will be monitoring if he can't get back to where he's at. If Justin Turner doesn't get fully back to where he's at, you know, Cody Bellinger continues to do what he does, it's a thing where you might need to go for a bat at the deadline. And with the DH, you're able to open up your search a little bit as to what a bat means. You know, you don't have to be super strict position wise, although, you know, it would be ideal if they found an outfield bat rather than an infield bat because they have, you know, a lot of infielders. But it's a matter of that just throws another wrench or another thought into Friedman and Brandon Gomes as to what the Dodgers need, because you're not gonna win a World Series necessarily with a third of your lineup unknown. That third being Turner, Muncy, and Bellinger. And then you have, you know, even Chris Taylor can get on a cold streak. I mean, obviously the guys at the top can get in cold streaks. And it's hard to win with a third of your lineup not performing at least to league average. You know, at this point, that's really all they're fighting for, is to get these guys to league average and everyone else performing the way they are. And you can get to a pretty strong, consistent lineup with that. So we'll see what happens with Max Muncy. We're rooting for Max Muncy, obviously, and that's just the way it goes. Craig Kimbrough, who did take the comebacker off the back that Jeff talked about earlier, he might be out the next couple of days, Dave Roberts said, just to make sure everything's all right. Over the weekend, Eddie Alvarez was optioned when Mookie Betts came back. Ian Jabeau never pitched for the Dodgers. He got designated for assignment when David Price came back. And yeah, one of those we talked about, we're going to know about Jabeau in a week. It seemed like the Dodgers weren't that intrigued with whatever he had, because he's already been designated for assignment. Now, if he clears waivers and sticks in the organization, you know, maybe it's something that he could come up at some point and show what he's got, but he didn't get to show it this time. And then Chris Taylor removed from the game on Saturday, wasn't in the game Sunday, but Dave Roberts said it might just take a couple days. He was available off the bench on Sunday if need be. Caleb Ferguson expected to come back soon. He pitched against Mookie Betts and maybe somebody else in a simulated game. Felt good, so he should be back soon. Andrew Heaney probably won't be back soon. The Dodgers said that, or Dave Roberts said that, he would miss at least two more turns in the rotation. That's at least another week and a half at the bare minimum. So we'll have to wait and we'll have to wait for Caleb Ferguson's return. But either way, that's kind of what happened over the weekend. It was a good weekend overall, winning 3 out of 4. Obviously, the loss on Sunday and the way they lost on Sunday leaves a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth. But at the end of the day, the Dodgers took 3 out of 4. They've taken 5 out of 7 from the Padres so far this season. They've taken 14 of the last 16 against them. And now they got to wait a month to play them again, and then they play them 3 times in the month of September. So there's still a lot of games coming with the Padres. There's still a lot of games coming with the Giants, who have started to fall off a little bit. But, you know, they still play the Dodgers tough and will still probably present themselves as somewhat of a or at least they'll have a presence against the Dodgers the rest of the way. So that's all from the weekend. The Dodgers play today. Happy 4th of July for all those that are celebrating. Julio gets the ball against the Rockies. The Dodgers get 3 with the Rockies so they can avenge the series loss in Colorado. Hopefully they can get things going and, you know, not lose to the Rockies again. So that's what's happened over the weekend. That's what we got for you. That's today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. For your next listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB Stars of Tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you want to find us, you can find us on YouTube and wherever you get podcasts by searching for Locked On Dodgers. You can also find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text, 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.